When we see fellow believers in times of trouble, our de facto answer to their problems tend to be, just trust in the Lord, or just be joyful. Though these statements are true, they do not address the feelings of sorrow and hurt that a person may be feeling. As Christians, it might seem like we're supposed to be these ever-glowing rays of joy at all times. But the Bible doesn't stray away from the sad emotions that we feel. There is sorrow, pain, sadness, grief, and many more emotions that we feel in times of trial and hardship. God understands this, which is why the book of Psalms contains many lament psalms. A lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow, and this is exactly what we see in these psalms. However, the psalmist is never left in a feeling of sorrow, but looks up to the heavens and finds peace in the Lord. We tell people to be joyful and trust in the Lord, but why? The Christian walk is a series of putting off and putting on. If we are called not to worry, not to be anxious, not to be stressed, then what do we replace these emotions with? And why? I want to focus on Psalm 13 with this devotional because I believe that it expresses this motion of putting off and putting on very well. So let's read Psalm 13. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversary will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." Psalm 13 is divided into three parts, and it is a steady climb from the bottom of a mountain to the wonderful view at the top. In verse 1 to 2, it's a lament, which leads into David's supplication to the Lord in verses 3 to 4, and ends with the hope of verses 5 to 6. So I've titled it in three parts: grief, supplication, and rest. Let's start with grief. Verses 1 to 2. In verses 1 to 2, David expresses four times, "How long?" which is then followed by a phrase of distress concerning God, himself, and his enemies. And this is the common theme that we find in the Psalms. David here cries out to God in a way that many of us do not. These questions of how long shows a relationship that David has with the Lord. It is the relationship of a son with his father. He cries out to God, and at first it seems like God is not there. There are periods in our life where we pray to the Lord and it feels like he can't hear us. We call out for help in our times of need, but our trials still crash over our heads like waves of the ocean. David seems like he is left to his own devices. The word counsel in verse 2 can be translated as rest. David is restless at this time and can't seem to find comfort. He then says the gut-wrenching phrase, "Having sorrow in my heart all the day." Where is the joy we always tell others to have? David then proceeds to express how long concerning his enemies. He cries, "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" David is personally humiliated and his faith in God's justice is tested. There are times in life where it feels like the wicked are exalted over the righteous. And if we were to leave it here, this would be a grim picture. If we were still unbelievers, this is all there is. The world is filled with sorrow, grief, sadness, and pain. These are all products of the fall. But that is not where the psalmist leaves this song. Next comes his prayer to the Lord. And that's supplication, verses 3 to 4. David prays to the Lord to remember him. He knows that the Lord is still there, so he asks God to consider him. He asks the Lord for strength as he climbs up the mountain of his troubles, saying, "Enlighten my eyes." This phrase is similar in the Hebrew language to "give the breath of life." And he needs the strength. For the next line is, "Or I will sleep the sleep of death." His enemies are near, and they will rejoice if he is dead. Just as David's life was difficult, we as Christians are never promised an easy life. What we are promised is hardship and persecution. Though David did not have the New Testament commandment of put off and put on, he demonstrates that principle here. David is putting off his fear. Now what does he put on? Last part, rest. That's verses 5 to 6. The beauty of the final two verses is that there is rest in times of restlessness. The psalmist begins verse 5 with but I, to remind us that it is our choice to trust in the Lord. Not just to trust in the Lord, but why we should trust in the Lord. He gives three reasons. 1, his loving kindness. 2, his salvation. And 3, that he has dealt bountifully. God's steadfast love for his children has always been throughout all generations. His covenant remains and God always fulfills his promises. He had promised redemption in the Savior for the Israelites, and to us, he has given that salvation. The psalmist's hope is not in his faith, but the object of his faith. God is an unshakable rock. So David says, my heart will rejoice in your salvation. His rejoicing is parallel to the rejoicing of his enemies, because in the end, they have not triumphed over him. So what is David's attitude? It's singing. He rejoices in song to God because, though his life is hard now, God has dealt bountifully with him before, and he shall do so again. Bountifully can be translated as completely, meaning God has granted all my desires. We are told in Philippians 4, verse 6, to not be anxious, but to bring our petitions to the Lord, because he hears and answers our prayers, as we know from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. Our Father in heaven is a kind and loving Father. Sorrow, grief, and pain are real emotions all Christians face in trial. Our trust in the Lord should be based on who God is. In trials, we act as if God has not given us enough reason to trust in him. When we are at the bottom of the mountain, all we see is the rock in front of our faces, and we're blinded to the marvelous view at the top. But we must ask the Lord for strength and climb. For at the top, we see God's wonders. We look back and are reminded that God has always dealt bountifully with us. As Joseph reflects at the end of Genesis, he says, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. Genesis 58:20. God works all things for his children's good. So we stand at the top as we also look forward to the hope to come. This life is just a small blimp in our entire existence. We are eternal beings and will spend eternity in heaven with our Father forever. This world is nothing compared to what is to come. So that is our hope. And we must continue to remind ourselves of that. There are many more laments, and the psalmist continually reminds himself that God is still in control. There is a reason for that, because we're forgetful. Our problems don't disappear overnight. When we are sick, we don't just take medicine once and feel better. We must take it every day until we are better. Sorrow is real, and there is no simple phrase that can fix that, but we must continually remind ourselves of God who is, what he has done, and what he is going to do. When trials come again in our lives, which they will, we remind ourselves again until the Lord brings us to that eternal rest. Put off anxiety, put off worry, and put off fear. Put on trust and hope.